In a week marred by sorrow and remembrance for the 20th anniversary of the Columbine school shooting, students and parents across Colorado were on edge. On Wednesday, threats made by 18-year-old Sol Pais prompted a massive manhunt and the closure of hundreds of Denver schools. Today, those schools are reopening after the Columbine-obsessed teen was found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Julie Turkowitz is a national correspondent for The New York Times, and she's been following the story. Thanks for joining us, Julie.
Hi, Tanzina. Thanks.
So what do we know about Sol Pais's infatuation with the Columbine shooting? Did she make specific threats against Denver schools? Where did this all come from?
Sure. Well, earlier this week, FBI authorities in Colorado received a tip from FBI agents in Miami that this woman had, in fact, traveled to Colorado and might pose a threat. And we don't actually know much about what the specific threats were. The authorities have said that they are investigating threats that were both written and spoken, but that they were not specific to a particular place in Colorado or a specific school. So we really don't know what those specific messages were.
Schools are reopening today, as we mentioned at the top, and I'm wondering, how are teachers and students reacting to the closures and even the news that this was a possible threat?
Sure. I spent a lot of time yesterday and the night before speaking with people in the community, and the shadow of Columbine has really, I think, spread long and far in the Denver area. So one of the students that I spoke with is a woman named Rachel Hill. She's a 17-year-old senior at Columbine now. She was not even born when the attack happened. And she said that, you know, the entire point of this week for her, and I think for a lot of people in the Denver area, was, quote, a message about love and recommitment. And she said, now all the news surrounding Columbine is about fear. And I think a lot of people in this region feel that way. Parents, I think, were really struggling to explain to their kids what was happening. You know, they were waking up on Wednesday morning and having to figure out how they explained to a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old, that school was closed, it wasn't snowing outside, and they sort of had to explain the concept of Columbine and the idea that strangers might want to hurt them simply because they are children.
Yeah, the Columbine shooting, it's almost hard to believe, but it happened 20 years ago. 12 students were killed. We also, I recall in 2012, that there were 12 people killed at a mass shooting inside a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, which was less than an hour away from Columbine. Is there sort of a sense, Julie, that there is a collective PTSD of sorts in among the communities of Colorado because of these incidences?
I don't know if everyone would call it PTSD, but I certainly think that people here are tired of this. They're tired of having to think about a stranger coming into their school, their movie theater, their grocery store, their, you know, medical clinic. And I think that one of the things that sort of has struck me in reporting here in Colorado over the years is just how much these shootings affect the people who were not even directly affected. But the sort of feeling of anxiety, I think, radiates outward. And I think that that's happening all over the country, but particularly in a place like the Denver area where this seems to happen over and over again.
So according to the Washington Post, 143 people have been killed in school shootings since Columbine. Why did this shooting in particular create this cultural pattern almost that we've seen play out over and over again?
The Columbine shooting in 1999 was not the first attack in a school, but it was widely televised. And after that, the perpetrators' thoughts and ideas were disseminated throughout the internet, and they were easily accessible to people who are looking for something to identify with, right? Lots of people in this country feel lonely, feel depressed, feel like they want a larger sort of collective community. And for whatever reason, the sort of dissemination of these thoughts allowed people to sort of glom to them and in some cases become obsessed with Columbine. And sometimes the effects of that don't go very far, but sometimes they do.
We know that school shootings and fatalities are not often tallied by the federal government, but it does feel like there's not enough being done to stop gun violence 20 years after Columbine. Is Colorado doing something about this differently, and are they trying to approach this differently than the rest of the country, Julie? We've got about 45 seconds left.
Sure. Well, a couple of years ago after the Aurora shooting, Colorado did pass some heightened gun restrictions that addressed background checks. And in fact, just this week or last week, the legislature passed and the governor signed a red flag bill. So there are things happening in the state. But I think that it's a larger conversation that, you know, needs to happen across the country.
Julie Turkowitz is a national correspondent for The New York Times, and we'll have more on the 20th anniversary of the Columbine shooting on Monday.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.